time for another draftphysics.com and debatephysics.com video presentation. So, this video will probably be on this page, the debate page, soon. You know, coming to a theater near you. this one on kinetic energy and how it doesn't work as a description of reality in the sense of the kinetic energy formula, 1/2 mv², and it just makes all of physics's understanding of elemental energy, it breaks all of it. This gets into Hamiltonians, all kinds of things are all based on this bad reasoning, this really poor logic, way under evidenced. It's just pretty much a religious dogma right in the middle of physics. Indicates that they really haven't thought much of this out, that it's all just helter-skelter thrown together. And it doesn't make any mechanical, logical sense. So we will once again play this little clip from Professor Lewin. This is an MIT professor. I'm assuming you won't find a single comment in all of the comments. In all of the places this video has been played, it's gotten, you know, literally millions of views in different places. At his site, it's 138,000 views, but there's really been millions. And it's fundamentally silly as physics. It can't make any sense to anybody who understands, you know, up from down in any kind of sophisticated way. In terms of making any, being consistent with all the other experiments ever conducted, and even most common experience in terms of ever dealing with any kind of mechanical system.
There we go.
All right, so what he just did here was bang one mass object into something that weighs twice as much. The thing that weighs twice as much is left with 2/3 of the original thing's velocity, which overtly breaks all of the rules. Twice the mass, half the velocity. It's the only possible way you can conserve the energy and have a rational universe. Otherwise, you have a universe that just makes more energy, free energy, free energy, free energy, and you infinitely all burn to death. So the whole universe can't work if this is possible. What he just showed you can't be possible. Because there would be systems in the universe that would take advantage of it and fry you in an instant. So, and then there's also 1/3 of the energy going the other way. So I will draw the rest of this and explain. So in other videos I've explained how their mathematical derivations are just nonsense, that they're really not playing fair to Newton, because they're blaming Newton for this nonsense by saying Newton said F equals ma when Newton didn't say that. And so I won't go through that again. So the idea is quite simple. One mass has a velocity. It's moving somewhere. Newton and Descartes kind of understood that as a quantity, and they could give it a label and say, okay, it's 100. All right, we'll just say the velocity is 100 whatever inches per second. Does it matter? And we have one unit of mass, and we're going to collide it elastically into a two-mass object. Now, logic tells you two-mass, half the velocity, blah, blah, blah. No, we don't do logic in physics. Physics isn't about logic. So this is what was in the universe. So if we drew this as some other way, you could understand a little closed system. We have one object and it's moving, okay, with a certain amount of momentum. All right, 100. And that's what we have going in to the magical event, the experiment. All right, and then after the experiment, what we have is this one mass object is going this way with 33 of those momentums. So 33 of them are going that way, and 132 are going this way. So if you do the math, you know, this times 2/3 of that, which would be 66, you know, you get 132. right? Okay, so now you have 32 extra going this way and 33 extra going that way, and the rest of the, you know, the 100 is still going this way. So the 100 is going this way, 32 extra is going this way. Impossible. Just realistically, can't possibly happen. Now the trick is they have springs on here. So, I mean, there could be some theory that springs are magical, that you can compress them, okay, without, I don't even know how I would even say it. Yes, you can compress them without using any energy, and then they'll uncompress free. It's more energy for free somehow. All right, but anyway, you can't make any sense out of it. I'm sitting here saying, why do I even have to make this argument? I really shouldn't have to make this argument because it's so silly. Now, what I can show you is a second clip by Walter Lewin where he makes a mistake in another experiment. In the sense he's doing an elastic experiment, and these things are replaced with Velcro. So the idea is they're supposed to stick to each other. But when he did the experiment, the Velcro didn't stick. And what he ended up with was the two mass was going much slower than half. Okay, and the one mass object was barely moving forward, indicating that it lost most of its energy, like 90% of it. And that it's clear that the 10% is the only thing different about it going exactly half. It would have been exactly half if it didn't mess up a little bit. So it's clear that elastic without springs is rational, and somehow this is irrational, this experiment. But the formula is irrational because this is their prediction. They're predicting this extra energy. So back to the closed system. So I had 100 when I started. I can't get new energy from anything. There's no rational source of any new energy. And I have 160, what did I say, 165. So I've magically increased the momentum. So both Newton and Descartes would say, no, you can't do that. Now even Leibniz says there's no perpetual motion. So even the guy who invented mv squared, let's understand that's what it was for 100 years. It was way off. You know, they put a half in it in the 1800s. So just understand, even Leibniz, who invented this nonsense, agreed that there's no perpetual motion. Yet this is perpetual motion. This is free energy. All I do is do this over and over again. I just take a one-mass object, bang into a two-mass object, bang into a four-mass object, bang into an eight-mass object, put it on a lever, bounce it back, do the same thing over and over and over, have two levers, they'll just keep going, making more and more and more and more energy. Free energy. And all it takes is a, you know, pendulums, okay, and two levers. And I can heat your house, I can run everything, your car, everything, all for free. That's what this MIT professor says is true. He did it right in front of your faces. It wasn't hidden somewhere. I mean, the free energy wasn't in some way hidden. It's quite obvious. He says two-thirds goes here, even though it's twice the mass. The math isn't complicated, is it? 2 times 66, that's not too hard a piece of math to do. 132. Well, 132 is a lot more than 100, I can see that. So more than 100 is going this way, the same direction. So I've obviously made more momentum in the same direction. But I also have energy going the other way. And that's what I meant by the closed system. If you put in a closed system, this way and this way don't cancel each other out. Okay, momentum this way, momentum that way. It's all real momentum. It's all heat in the system. So if it was heat, you just increase the heat for free. Not logically possible, and I haven't gotten any rational response. I'm just sitting here saying, everybody, what? What are you? This is such a foul, obvious mistake, and you won't concede? I mean, this is like them discovering the Dead Sea Scrolls and, you know, something else, and it says, it reveals some truth. And you're just sitting there saying, I'll deny everything because I have to believe the dogma I've been taught. And so obviously wrong. This is more catastrophic to the function of physics than them. You know, Benjamin Franklin made a simple mistake. You know, he did plus and minus and he assigned them to the wrong objects. Okay. And they never fixed it. So Maxwell's equations kind of have a silly thing where current goes the wrong way in a wire. Different stupid things happen because of it. And this mv squared thing is stupid and wrong, and this is the byproduct. Stupid and wrong assumptions about predictions about what reality will produce. And then they do an experiment to show it to you that obviously can't be the truth, so they obviously engineer experiments to satisfy their mathematical conclusions. And then that gives you good reason to suspect, well, what about all the other experiments they've done? Are they all really clean? Or have they fudged them a little bit? Have they manipulated it a little bit to make it come out the way they wanted it to? The way their prediction, you know, they want to force the outcome to be consistent with their prediction, to say they have the most proven theory in the history of mankind when it's obviously disprovable as nonsense. All right. The second phase of the arguments will just be the ones I've already made about how levers function, and so I'll give you a little bit of that, and just sit here and say, I can't get a single rational explanation for any of this. So what I'm soliciting, I'm offering thousands of dollars to channels that have, you know, viewership on YouTube. But if you're just a dopey somebody, you can get Skype to work and do audio where I can record it, and you wish to defend this as good science, this one half mv squared thing, I'll pay you. Tell me how much it costs. $50, $100. I might go to $200 if you're, you know, articulate and can make a decent argument. So what's the price? What do I have to pay to find somebody who defends this physics to actually defend it? You know, something else other than slander. You know, can you defend it with an actual argument about physics, about how it makes sense, what you've done to it with this religious concept? Again, let's understand, Leibniz was a religious kook, okay? The inventor of this was a religious kook, okay? Religious kook in the full sense of religious kook, in that he forced everything to fit into his diagram of what God would do. Right, I'll be back. Alright, we're back. Sorry about the furnace, but tough. Anyway, so I have explained levers, and that one of the oldest tools known to man pretty much conclusively proves that this free energy stuff doesn't happen, and that what you can do, though, with levers is convert, you know, a long, you know, light pressure into a short, heavy pressure. That's the great advantage of levers. That's essentially what somebody's doing when they use a lever against a rock to pull a tree stump up or something. They're taking a long light pressure, you know, a light pressure applied over a longer period of time, and converting it into a high pressure, you know, for a short distance. So that's what levers allow you to do. It's a conversion. It never creates energy. It just converts speed, high speed into slow speeds. It changes time and speeds of objects that have what's called weight. Okay, you know, mass. So the simple argument is that you can set up the lever to completely debunk any notion, okay, that you can have, you know, a light mass goes on the outside, you know, a one mass and a two mass. Should make the two mass big. All right, and the simple fact is they'll balance on this lever. If I put this twice the distance of this from the fulcrum, they'll balance. They'll weigh the same, okay, because of the fact that in actual gravity right now, you are actually moving. And this object's moving this much, and this object's only moving this much. And that difference, okay, creates a difference in the amount of how the weight is experienced, because you have gravity has more time to work on it here, less time here, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, if I start this in motion, And this object, the two mass object, I should just draw it, will only go this high, let's say. The one mass object will go four times higher, but every time it lands, it only lands with twice the velocity. So it has half the mass, twice the velocity. The momentum will be the same. This goes up one quarter, but it'll end up with one full velocity when it lands. And so it will be equal again, if you understand it that way. The two things are equal. This one, by the kinetic energy formula, this side has twice as much energy than this side. Now, it doesn't physically work. It doesn't work out that way. This tool, this simple mathematical tool, okay, you could think of it that way, like one of those little things with the sliding beads. This simple mechanical tool is telling you 1/2 mv squared does not work. Fail, okay? It fails to get the right prediction. It's wrong. There won't be twice as much energy on this side. And you know it can't be twice as much energy. You know it has to land with the same amount of energy on both sides. That it's transferring, doing the conversion. This, okay, short high pressure is the same as this long weak pressure. Same thing. They equal each other. They have the same momentum. It's just in a different form. You're just converting it from mass units to velocity units. You're just taking $1,000 bills and converting them into $1,001 bills. The currency is the same. There is no 1/2 mv squared rule that says $1,000 bills are worth twice as much as 1,000 single dollar bills. It fails as a economic theory. It fails as a beans. You could use beans. You could use anything. And again, it was so established by both Newton and Descartes that this works. I mean, Newton proved that mass times velocity works by predicting so well that the whole world figured this guy was a magician, that he was God, that he was, they buried him, like in cathedrals and shit, because this worked, not because this failed, not because this lacked something, okay? It didn't lack anything. The only thing it lacked was, the fact that Newton didn't realize the sun was precessing, the center of the sun's mass is precessing, and that precession is screwing up Mercury a little bit. But outside of that, you got it all right. And here you are playing a game like some, you need to replace it. No, you didn't need to replace it. You didn't need to fix it because it wasn't broken. And Leibniz died a nobody, okay? The guy who invented it, which is ironic, right? At least the people in Newton's day were able to see the difference. And then later on, when there was a few years distance, okay, Newton was dead, Leibniz was dead, then they resurrected this pile of crap, okay, and turned it into something because it was vogue, because they could put it on a t-shirt and it looked cool. It didn't have anything to do with it having any credibility at all. People were fooled by silly clay experiments. I mean, too silly. When, again, if they just drew it on a lever, they could understand it can't possibly be right, because then it's free energy over here and insane losses of energy over here. You can't keep making free energy on one side and losing it on the other side. It's silly. Alright. So I don't even know. I'll do the rocket ship thing just because, again, the lever also points it out, right? So if I could take a lever and I can put 2 kilograms on it over here, and I could put a dime on it over here. And I could keep going further. I keep making this arm longer, right? So I make a really imbalanced lever. Where can you see here? You can see a little bit over here. Really imbalanced. That is, the fulcrum's way over here. And theoretically, I can do I put a grapefruit over here, I put a dime over here, right? And then I can sit there and tell you that, this thing, okay, this is going to be a huge distance it moves. So for every little movement here, I'll get a gigantic movement here in the same amount of time. That means a high velocity. And so theoretically, I could literally put the bullet over here, right? And I could put the grapefruit over here. And I could tell you that if I could make a perfect enough lever, it would work. But I could sit there and just, you know, I could drop the grapefruit here, and I could shoot the bullet here at 1,000 miles an hour, 2,000 miles an hour, just by applying a few pounds of pressure on the lever. So it's telling you they're equal. So, yeah, all right. Well, I'll draw the spaceship just to... Anyway, sorry. It's just, I've done this so many times, and to get no rational defense... And again, I'm getting no rational defense because basically anybody who's going to try to defend, they're going to lose. And on top of that, they're just going to demonstrate, they're going to have to admit that, well, if something this built into physics can be fundamentally wrong, then how can you trust anything they say? I mean, this is right in between Einstein's relativity theory and quantum mechanics, is this theory of energy. And if this is wrong, you have very good reason to doubt whether they got any of that quantum mechanics crap right or that relativity crap right. And I call it crap on purpose, because it's crap. All right, so we'll just do this last simple diagram, and I can only say I've done my part in attempting to reason with you. If you can't do reasoning, then that's... we're stuck. Okay, no logic zone. Alright, rocket moving through space. No steering wheel. So they have to throw stuff out of the ship to get it to turn. Okay, and so you throw out one side 2 kilograms going 1 mile an hour. You throw out the other side 0.001 kilogram, 1,000 times less mass, a dime. Okay, this is 2 liter bottle. Liter bottle. Well, anyway, you can get it. 2 liter bottle. all right, this will be going 2,000 miles an hour. And, no, 1,000 miles an hour. Okay, so this is going 1 mile an hour. This is going 1,000 miles an hour. 1,000 difference. So there's, if I was to draw it, you know, there's 1,000 atoms here. For every one atom here, 1,000 to 1 difference in the mass. 1,000, just recognize you're talking about real atoms, so it's a lot more atoms going this way. So it's 1,000 people with $1 bills, right? They got $1. There's one person with $1,000 bill over here, and that's all you really have. There's absolutely no difference in the total capacity to change the universe. The total capacity for this thing to hit something and for it to move. The total heat on this side is equal to the total heat on this side. The total energy is the same. $1,100 bills is the same as one guy with $1,000 bills. The same exact thing. Tug of war between these two things, this one atom and these 1,000 atoms. So just think of 1,000 people having, being 1,000 times weaker, okay? So, you know, I don't even know how to describe people that weak, and one really strong guy on the other side. And that's all it is. It's just a tug of war. One guy's really strong, the other ones are really weak, okay? But it adds up to the same thing, okay? They say this side is going to win by 1,000. They say it's a 1,000 times stronger that it's going to sit there and pull all of those people, just too easy, didn't even have to do any work. It's just on its face, nonsense, right? Yeah, I probably did do this wrong, right? This is 2 joules over here, so it's, you know, $2,000, $2,000. Okay, so sorry about that error. It happens. So it's 1,000 times difference in the energy they're claiming. 2 joules, 2 watts versus 1,000 watts. So they're telling you basically that the tiny dime going really fast has 1,000 watts, and the you know, 2 liter bottles going really slow only has 2 watts. No reason to believe it. NASA knows it's not the truth. NASA physicists, you know, scientists, whatever you want to call them, they know the spaceship keeps going straight. I throw one out one side, I throw the other one out the other side. The spaceship says same energy there, same energy that way, fine. NASA also knows it takes the same energy to cause the event. It takes us the same energy to do both things. It's just that we can't throw dimes 1,000 miles an hour because we have to throw our whole hand to do it, and our hand weighs a lot more than the dime. But it's a tiny amount of energy. You can feel how light something like that is, right? You can feel it when you're throwing it. You don't even feel the dime, right? When you feel throwing your hand, you don't feel throwing the dime. That's because it's so light compared to the rest of the thing you're trying to throw. So it doesn't work. 1/2 mv² doesn't work, ever. It's never given right answers. It's wrong. It's stupid. Momentum works. Newton proved it works. This works. Okay? Mass times velocity is the way you figure out how much money somebody has. It's the way you figure out the currency. What's the denomination and how many bills are there? Does it say 1 on it? Does it say 5? Does it say 50? How many of them do you have? All right, how many atoms going how fast? It's that simple. That's energy in the universe. That's heat in the universe. That's motion in the universe. That's all there is in the universe. And I haven't gotten any rational response to that assertion in 6 months. And that's depressing, that all of you wish to defend nonsense. Yeah, it's depressing. Yeah, that's all I can say. So anyway, another video on kinetic energy, which will be ignored, and eventually the truth is going to have to be realized by, you can't keep it broken forever. Well, maybe you can, especially if you have idiocracy and you just turn everything back into the Stone Age. But if you're going to do the smart thing, if you're ever going to really navigate in space, you have to start getting this right. Anyway. So, this has been a draftphysics.com or debatephysics.com video presentation. For what purpose? Not apparent anymore. There's no point in talking. These people are so cement-headed and belligerently stupid. Yeah. Alright, until the next time. Well, I'll keep trying, because what else do I have to do but endeavor to persevere in this, argument that I shouldn't even have to make, because it's so frickin' obvious.